All right, you're listening to 98.5 FM. I'm here with Seattle Wob, who is short for Wobbly, which is an IWW member.
How's it going?
So tell us about, there's a training coming up in Seattle.
Yeah, it's coming up on February 18th and 19th. It's going to be from 9:30 to 4 p.m. each day, Saturday and Sunday. The first day, we're mostly focusing on campaign building, on how to, like, get out to media outreach, how to build coalitions within cities, how to map, like, industrial campaigns versus campaigns that just focus on a corporation. The second day, we're going to focus on nuts and bolts organizing, how to talk union on the shop floor, how to, you know, assess different coworkers you have, how to build an organizing committee, labor law, and, you know, how to bring out people for demonstrations and pickets and things like that. And we're pretty excited. We got people coming out from New York, the Bay Area, and Portland to give the training. And we have meals provided, breakfast and lunch each day. It's going to be at the Cascade People Center, which is on 309 Pontius Avenue in Seattle.
So how did this come into being? What kind of workers would need this kind of training?
Essentially anybody who's, you know, fed up at their job. I know that we're going to try and focus on retail workers, people that, you know, normal labor unions just tend to ignore, you know, just not try and organize. And so it came about as the Seattle branch is relatively small. We haven't really done any organizing campaigns ever since, you know, Acorn a couple of years ago. And so I just joined in May, and I just figured that we need to try and have an organizer training to bring people out and bring people into the organization and people who just want to organize.
So what exactly will people be learning? Like, say I work at McDonald's. What kind of stuff will I be learning?
You'll be learning, like, how to bring it up to your coworkers. You know, how to map your shop in the sense of, okay, well, we have this group of people over here and another group of people over here. So who are the leaders among those people? You know, who takes smoke breaks with who? How do you get to reach out to those other people that are fed up with their job, but they just don't know the proper way to go about things, or they don't know, you know, the basics of organizing a union. And so you'll really learn, like, how to talk to your coworkers, how to talk to different people you work with. And, you know, how to talk to other, you know, not even just the people you work with, but regular consumers that just come in every day who may not know about some of the things that are going on in your business that you work at. And so it'll really give a lot of tools for people who want to organize. And it's about shop floor, you know, democracy, worker democracy, and just bringing social justice.
A lot of workers I've come across, like, tend to have the attitude that, oh, I can just quit this job and go to another job and it'll be better, or it just won't be with this asshole boss or whatever, you know. And I was wondering what your response might be for that, like, as opposed to trying to organize a union in your workplace.
Like, I've gone from small business to corporation, you know, from small to large, any, you know, different types of shops. And across the board, I've personally seen that regardless where you're at, you're always going to run into an asshole. You're always going to run into a boss who's going to tell you what to do, and you're not going to have any say at your workplace. And this is really about empowering people on the shop floor so that they can, you know, take their job that they don't like, that other people don't want to have, and actually turn it into a job that people might want. You know, make sure that they have healthcare benefits, make sure that they're getting the hours that they need to make ends meet, make sure that they're getting the pay that they deserve to cover costs for their family or for going to school or for anything. You know, it's really just about, you know, you're not, if you keep going from job to job, if you just keep quitting, then you're just going to keep running from the bosses who are always going to be there, who are always going to be, you know, hounding on you, you know, crawling, like, breathing down your neck. And this is a way of, you know, fighting back.
So what kind of things can people gain by standing together in the workplace?
Really, what defeats most people on the job is the fact that they negotiate for themselves. And when you have a collective voice of employees saying that, hey, you know, we're all going to stand together and we're not going to take this. We're standing as one unified force against you, and we're going to, you know, try and bargain across the board for all of us as opposed to individually. So you'll gain a lot of strength that way, and you'll gain a lot of power that way, saying that you can't fire everybody, because there has to be people that will train new employees. You can't run a business with no employees. So if you have people on the job that, you know, want to have a union, and you have enough of them, then you can really make an impact on everybody's life, and, you know, even hurt the employer as well.
So I once mentioned the U word in a place that I worked, and the next day I got a call from the manager saying that it just wasn't working out between me and the place I worked as a dishwasher, by the way. And I was wondering, what ways can workers, achieve, solidarity without tipping off the boss and having the boss try to fire people one by one?
Some of the best advice I can give is just trying to do it as clandestine as possible. You know, trying to meet with people outside of the workplace, try to meet with people in places that you know that the employer isn't going to be. You know, like if you meet at, you know, X coffee shop on the side of the road, you know that they're not going to be there. And so that kind of gives like a safe environment for you to talk about like some of the issues that you may have. Labor law, as, you know, messed up as it is, they do offer some protection. I don't want to go out and declare that the NLRB is some great holy, you know, institution in the United States government, because it's not, and it doesn't stand up for workers' rights, and it doesn't stand up, you know, to try and help, you know, workers at large. It's pretty much just a business or organization. But, you know, sometimes you can come back to the employer and with an NLRB suit and just say look, you know, you were union discrimination, which is against the law. You know, it's against the law, quote unquote, but they really don't follow that. But you can try and do that, you know, if you do end up getting fired. And that's not the best advice I can give, but, you know, really just trying to get to talk to other employees and trying to organize without, you know, obviously without the employer knowing, setting up meetings outside of work, like I said, and just trying to get as much outreach as you can within your shop. And, you know, like I said, at the organizer training, we're going to talk about, you know, social mapping and doing all those types of things, which are tools that can help you to get to know every single person at your shop. Whether or not you work at a restaurant, you have to get to the dishwashers, to the line cooks, to the waiters and waitresses, to the hosts and hostesses, and you have to get to all those different areas. But if you can identify, you know, who the leader is in those individual groups and talk to them and try and get them to talk to the other people around and just organize around that, those are some of the things that we can help out with at the organizer training.
I'm also curious, say the boss does find out or whatever, and bosses tend to play one worker against another, and they might be able to divide them by say race or gender or whatever different ways, or that person's not pulling their weight or something like that, you know. What are ways to overcome such divisiveness and stuff if an employer does find out that you want better working conditions?
Geez, that's a tough question. I guess the best way to do that, to work around that and to, you know, really defend yourself against that, is to try and identify with other workers that's in saying okay, look, we have this boss, we have this person who's above us, who is making a ton more money than us, who's not doing the type of shit jobs that we have. And we have to look at as that as our common interest. You know, we have to look past the racial and any other, you know, gender, age, whatever type of barriers that the boss, that the employer might try and set up. And we have to look at it as kind of like an us versus them. We're the ones who are working on the shop floor every single day. And from my past experiences, I've had bosses who have gone on 2-week vacations every single month, right? And so I've, you know, personally seen bosses who will take the money that we make and just go on vacation with it while we have no vacation pay, we have no, you know, rights, we have no benefits, we have nothing. And we have to look to that as a unifying force, as opposed to, and use that actually to combat whatever an employer might try to divide you with.
So you mentioned the NLRB, and how is the NLRB your friend or your foe in trying to stand up for your working conditions?
Another tough question. Honestly, you know, from my point of view, it's going to be more of your foe than it is your friend. There are certain cases where they have actually, you know, stood up for workers. To cite one off the top of my head, there was a roasting plant for Starbucks in Kent, Washington. And they broke the union, fired everybody, essentially, and they went to the NLRB and they got all their back wages. I think it totaled to about $200,000 per employee, you know, and that was a win through the NLRB at the cost of Starbucks. But I think that, you know, more often than not, they're not going to be there to get your back. They're not going to be the ones to defend you. You really have to go like solidarity, unionism. You have to stand up for each other on the shop floor, and you can't, you know, just, you can't put everything on an NLRB election like most mainstream unions will do. They'll go through an entire campaign and put everything on an election. And if they lose the election, then whatever, you know, F it, they're just going to leave and that's the end of it. But you have to look at, you know, every single day, if you're constantly facing labor law violations, if you're not getting lunches, if you're not getting breaks, if they're messing with your pay, if they're not giving you overtime, you have to approach the boss as one group of people and stand up together and for each other, because, you know, Joe's fight is going to be the same as Jill's fight because they're all employees and they all face the same problems.
Right on. So I was wondering if you could talk maybe a little bit about trade unionism and solidarity unionism, like go more into detail, I guess.
To go like trade unions, as far as like business unions, AFL-CIO, Change to Win, you know, the two main coalitions of, you know, unions out there, their model is essentially, okay, well, we're going to go in, we're not going to try and understand what the workers are going through. We're going to try, like, for like UFCW and Walmart, for instance, right? They're trying to organize, they've been trying to organize Walmart for years, but the reason that they keep failing is because they don't try and salt the place. They don't try and use direct action and try and, like, build worker solidarity from the base up. They just try and go in and get house, and then make house calls and talk to people and try and push for an election, but nothing ever gets done because workers aren't seeing that their needs are met. And one of the things that the IWW offers is that we're not the union. You know, people, if we have a branch secretary, treasurer, if we have people that aren't in, you know, on the shop floor, they are part of the union, but they aren't the union. If I know that's kind of a weird thing to say, but the union is made up of the workers on the ground floor. That's where the power comes from, right? And that's where we want to help people on the ground floor and help people on the shop floor to try and organize and bring that power to the forefront, because without that, they have nothing. And so that's one of the ways that we really differ, is that we're going to try and we would take the time to help form organizing committees, to help form groups of workers who want to try and organize, as opposed to just, you know, going and trying to make house calls and make an election happen that isn't always going to end up in your favor. But if you really build grassroots support for a union in your workplace, if you really go through all the steps of building an organizing committee, of, you know, making sure that, you know, Jill, Jane, and Bob are on, you know, they're going to help you and you're going to stand up for them. And it's, you know, it's a two-way street with that. And so that's one of the ways that the IWW, I think, is it's more direct democracy, you know, obviously, than trade unions. And I think that's where that our power can come from.
I've seen a lot of employers try to get out of paying unemployment by making work conditions so unbearable for a certain employee that they just really have no choice but to quit. And to watch, you know, one of your coworkers go through that experience, I'm wondering what are some, like, constructive ways that people could stand up for that person that seems to be getting picked on more than others by management?
Let's see. This is kind of another hard question for me to answer, but the same thing happened in my work. You know, I used to work at a restaurant in Kent. And over there, they would give you, you know, if they're trying to get rid of someone, they'd give them one shift a week, right? They'd try and you know, just force them out of there. But one of the things that we would do is just we'd all, you know, maybe take one less shift that week just so that that person can make ends meet. And if you do small things like that, I don't really know how to answer that question completely. But if you do things like where you're going to try and, you know, give something of yours to that person and show them that you're really trying to look out for their best interests and the employer isn't, that's kind of a way to act union without even really talking it. You know, that's, you're standing up for one another, you're giving solidarity, you're taking a loss for yourself, but you're also helping out, you know, you're also helping out your fellow worker.
Awesome. So the training's coming up, and that's going to involve people, Wobblies from across the country or West Coast.
Yeah, we have an organizer coming out from New York who's going to give the training. We've got a couple people from Portland coming up. We've got a guy from the San Francisco Bay Area who is working on the Stockton Truck Drivers campaign. He's going to also give the training. And we've got a number of people coming out from Spokane, Olympia already, and Portland that are going to come up for the training. And we're really hoping that this can really not only invigorate Seattle, but also the entire, you know, Northwest area that's kind of just been dry, with the exception of Portland, obviously. But there hasn't really been a lot of strong union drives lately, and we're really trying to, you know, build up some energy and just get something started out here.
Right on. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
On the 25th, at the Vera Project, there's going to be a benefit show for the Seattle IWW. We've got 5 groups confirmed. It's all going to be hip-hop. Creative Destruction, Cancer Rising, Dread Eye, Macklemore, and Gabriel. I always forget his last name, and I probably should know it for this interview, but I don't. and they're all going to come up. We got a pretty cool house DJ, and it should be off the hook. We're really hoping that, you know, it brings a lot of people out, and we'll get a chance to talk about the IWW and, you know, bring and just sort of raise the profile of the union in Seattle. And I think tickets are $8 at the door, and it starts at 7:30. For more information, you know, veraproject.org. Our contact email is sbu_IWW.org. Go to Free Radio Olympia's website, and you can find out more information about the organizer training and contact info. And that's it.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming down.